take your Bibles and turn in the New Testament to a book called Thessalonians. Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, and we're going to be in the fifth chapter. This morning we're going to look at one verse of Scripture, fifth chapter, verse 18. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. If you say, well, I have no clue where Thessalonians is, just know when you get into the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you got over there Acts, and you have Romans, and then you got some Corinthians, a couple of them there, 2 Corinthians walked into a bar, so 2 Corinthians, and then you get to Galatians, Ephesians, I'm still joking, come on. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, then you're going to get into some T's, all right? Once you get into the T's, Thessalonians is the first one. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Okay, this week it is Thanksgiving. Now, I don't know about you and the memories you have of your Thanksgivings, but I'm telling you, this is second to Easter. Next to Easter, this is my second favorite holiday, and it really always has been. And I think because in my mind growing up, once Thanksgiving season rolled around, well, then Christmas decorations were coming up, and it was kind of like a precursor. There are good things on the horizon. Through the end of the year, there's going to be some good times. And I just love getting together with my family, and most of the time, it was a whole lot of fun. Not every time, mind you. Most of the time. Let me tell you some of my earliest memories, and you might be able to relate to some of this as you've traveled to different places to visit different family members. So growing up in Charleston, we always had the same menu. How many of you, when you cook at your house, your mom or your grandma cooks, how many of you have the same thing every Thanksgiving? Raise your hand. It's the same menu every year. All right. Good many of you do that. All right. So it was in our house. And as a little boy, I just thought, well, that was everybody's menu. I just thought everybody had the things that we had. You know, everybody had turkey. Everybody had macaroni and cheese. Everybody had sweet potatoes. Okay, everybody had these things. And then we were invited to go to a family member's house across the country. And so we showed up there. And I remember I was 8 years old, around that age, and so third grade. And we're getting up to the table, and we're going up to fix our plates. At least they knew buffet style, so we were eating buffet style. And I looked around, and there was no turkey. And I thought to myself, where's the turkey? And I turned to my mom and said, Mom, where's the turkey? She goes, shh, just eat it. Eat it. Don't say nothing. And so as an 8-year-old boy who probably, this, you know, little match you can probably see here, I wasn't satisfied with that answer. So I wanted the source. And so I go to the one who's hosting us. I say, hey, where's the turkey? And she says, oh, well, we do something different here. We do ham. And I remember thinking to myself, this is not Thanksgiving. This is not Thanksgiving. Okay, so let's just see right now. How many of you forego the turkey and you have ham for Thanksgiving? Raise your hand. All right. Okay, not a lot. Okay, not a lot. Okay, how many of you, when it is ham, or if ham were to arrive this Thanksgiving out of the blue, how many of you would appreciate like a honey-baked ham? Would you raise your hand? All right. So that's the only ham experience I had ever known up to that point. So when she says, well, we do it different here. We have ham. So I'm thinking, okay, all right. It's going to be like honey baked ham. This will be good. It's not turkey, but it's second best. And so I go eat it. It's not honey baked ham. Now, listen, I know some of you like this because some of my friends here, I've already talked to about this. You really like this. It was cured and it was salty. With a capital S, salty. Okay, I was thinking it was going to be sweet. It was salty. It was very salty. I remember thinking, this ain't Thanksgiving. I don't know what this is, but this is not Thanksgiving. That was 8 years of age. So my memories of Thanksgiving have always centered around kind of turkey. Okay, we're going to have turkey. You know, Dad's going to cut the turkey. And the next day we're going to have turkey sandwiches. And the next day after that, we're going to have, you know, tofurkey. And the next day after that, I mean, we're going to make a lot of things with turkey in it for the next few days to come. That was my Thanksgiving experience. It centered around a lot of turkey. Not only did it center around turkey, there's always something going on every Thanksgiving if you turn on the TV, and that would be what? Anybody want to take a shot in the dark? You have? All right. There you know. Now, some of you are thinking, football? Man, I turn on TNT, you know, I watch those classics that come on. Okay, no. Going to the other channels, there's football playing every Thanksgiving. And there are certain teams that play every Thanksgiving. Now, this would be a good trivia question. Hey, no. Here's a question. The early game starts 12 Eastern, 11 Central, always is a certain team. That certain team would be, all of you football nerds out there, you will tell me it would be? Detroit Lions every year. So growing up, I got to watch Barry Sanders run the football every Thanksgiving. So with turkey on my breath, I'm watching Barry Sanders be the human highlight reel. It was always good until this one particular year they were playing the Pittsburgh Steelers. And so Barry Sanders, Jerome Bettis, I mean, they were at each other, and they went into overtime. Some of you, this is going to ring a bell. They went into overtime. It's classic. They still show the highlights of this now. And so they bring out the captains onto the field. And so you have the captains for the Detroit Lions, captains for the Steelers, Jerome Bettis being one of the captains. And they ask Jerome Bettis, what's it going to be? And the referee with the coin in his hand, what's it going to be? And he says, tails. The referee says, heads. And he throws it up, and it gets it wrong. And Jerome Bettis says, I didn't say that. He goes, oh yeah, you did. And so there's this big controversy, because after that controversy, Barry Sanders got the ball, they went on the win, and the Steelers felt like they were robbed because the referee couldn't hear. Okay, that's another Thanksgiving memory that I have. I'm kind of still bitter over. But after Detroit plays, who's the next team that plays after that? Always is Cowboys. So listen, I always look forward. Go Barry, go! Except on that particular Thanksgiving with Jerome Bettis. Go Barry, go! And then I always had another team to root against because I hated them. And so that was my Thanksgiving experience. Turkey, Detroit Lions, Dallas Cowboys. Now I ask you, think about your experiences growing up. You've probably had some good ones, and you probably had some forgettable ones, and you probably had some ones that kind of stood out to you for one reason or another. Let me tell you how it gets really awkward around the Taylor home growing up, and even now when we go back home. My mom always, she wants to bring it all in, you know, and so she feels this responsibility as the parent, and, you know, parents, we can appreciate that. Grandparents, you can remember. She feels this responsibility. Let's not just have a meal and say we're experiencing a holiday. So she goes around, and she says, all right, all right. And everybody knows when mom or mamaw says, all right, it's about to go awkward, okay? We're getting into the awkward zone. And Mamaw goes, all right, all right. It's time. Everybody go around and say what you're thankful for. And there's like this collective groan. Because every year we know it's coming. And you're like, what kind of person are you? Give thanks. Tell them what you're thankful for. It's not that. What seems so odd about it, and what's just kind of like icky about the whole thing, it's so artificial. It's like, all right, yoo-hoo, it's Thanksgiving time. It's Thanksgiving time. We're going to be thankful. Tell us what you're thankful for, even if you're not. Do it right now. All right. Mamaw, I'm thankful for you. That's who I'm thankful for. That's always a good one, by the way. It's always a good one when you go right from Mamaw's heart. So we go around the table and we say, here's what we're thankful for. But this is what I found out. And this is, again, call me slow, come around to the party. But just because you say the right things in the context of Thanksgiving doesn't mean you're really thankful. You can say thank you and not be grateful. You can use the right words and your heart be far from what you're saying. Now, it doesn't excuse you from not saying it, because you ought to, because we've learned good manners. And let's not take that for granted, because teaching kids good manners, well, that's kind of difficult sometimes, right? So I remember as Emma and Noah were growing up, and you recall your days as you're maybe raising your kids, or you think of how your kids are going to be different than everybody else's kids, and you're going to have it easy. Have those thoughts if you want. Anyways, I remember now, you know, sweet little Emma, you know, she was kind of naturally proposed to, you know, saying the right words, politeness, manners. And so, but we'd still have to prod her and Noah the same. And how you prod your kids is how I prod my kids. What do you say, Emma? Or, what do you say, Noah? Wow, is that really nice? What do you say about that? And that's their little prod. That's their little cue. That's their little pinch to say, thank you very much. And what we're doing is we're teaching our kids to have good manners, because kids are not, they don't have that within them. When they're born, they're not good. They're cute and they're sweet, but they're not grateful. They're selfish. All of you young moms out there, I mean, your baby cries all night long. I mean, they're upset. maybe they're colicky. Maybe they're hungry. Maybe their stomach's hurt. You lose sleep. Maybe you don't sleep the whole night and you're sitting there rocking. You're going from inside the bathroom, turn on the shower so steam so they can breathe a little better. Then you take them outside in the cold air so it's thinner so they can breathe better. You're doing all of these gymnastic parental stuff to take care of your baby, and 6 to 7 hours later, without sleep, they finally doze off. You put them down. You're never going to hear from them. Thank you for doing that. That's not in a baby. So you have to teach them. You have to teach them. This is the time you say thank you. Somebody did something nice for you. Say thank you. Hey, that's beautiful. Wow, look what they gave you. Say thank you. I'll never forget this time. Emma's about 3 years old. Excuse me, Emma, for using this. She's about 3 years old. We have some family friends that come to visit us, and they're coming from a long distance away, and they bring her a gift, and it's a, like a stuffed animal type deal. And Emma, she gets a stuffed animal, and, you know, true to Emma, she's like, wow, thank you so very much. 3 years old. And she says, what else you bring? I'm like, you're killing me. I mean, you suck as a parent. You're awful. I'm thinking to myself. That's just the way little kids are. So you have to teach them, like, you know, Emma, we don't say that. You know, she's, you know, I mean, we don't do that, Emma. We're thankful, very thankful. So, what I've learned, though, and what's obvious, it really is not so much learning as just being aware of it. That we can grow our kids up, and we ourselves can be grown up from our parents to know when to say the right things the right way, but it doesn't mean your heart is any more grateful with or without those words. So how do you change that? How do you change that? So in your Bibles, look here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, the Bible reads this. In everything, give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, before we go into the beginning, let's start at the end. In Christ Jesus, if you have put your faith in Christ, if you have put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says it's been reckoned to you as righteousness. You are now in him. He is now in you. In Christ Jesus is one of many usages of a terminology to describe our position as a believer in Jesus Christ. We are in Jesus Christ. The Bible says for all of us who are in Jesus Christ, God has a will for our lives. Now, again, this is not the only will for God, God has for our lives, but it is something that he has for every single one of our lives. Now, the will of God for your life can be very, very different than the will of God for someone else's life. Some of you, you work in a particular profession. You have believed God's called you to that. You are fulfilling and following God's will the best you know it. In my particular profession, I'm following God's will the best that I know it. Mine's different from yours. It's still the same God. It's still his will, but different due to the person. There are some things, however, that is his will for everybody. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 is one of those. And that is, we are to give thanks. Now, giving thanks. What does it mean to give thanks? Give thanks, I believe, in the terminology and metaphor we use in raising kids, I believe it starts with doing what you're supposed to do in a timely fashion, that you have good manners. That means what you have, you acknowledge, and you actually speak it. You give thanks to the one who gave it to you. The Bible says every gift, every good and perfect gift, James chapter 1 verse 17, comes from the Father above. That means every good thing in your life, it comes from a Father who is great, it comes from a Father who's good, and he loves you so much, he has given that to you. And the Bible says we are to give thanks for that. We are to, as the hymn says, count our many blessings, we name them one by one. In doing so, we're acknowledging what we have, what we own, what we steward. This is not because we're self-made men and women. We are blessed by a benevolent Father who loves us and for whatever reason has chosen to smile upon us. And we thank you. I thank you. Our family thanks you. We're grateful. And listen, that's just having good manners. Because if somebody gives you something today that you were not expecting, that you know you have no entitlement to, it's only natural for you to say, thank you. That's just having good manners. And here's my problem. I think that's where most of the time it stops with us as children of God. We have this good manner level relationship with God, and we never go beyond that. We say to God what we know we're supposed to say to God, just the same way we say to Mamaw when we know we're supposed to say this to Mamaw, thank you for that. Or we say to Grandpa, or we say to a friend, thank you for that. Giving thanks to God goes beyond just having good manners before God. It really means it is out of the overflow of your heart. It's not artificial. It's not just that time of the year. And it's not just all righty then around the dinner table on Thanksgiving meal. It is genuine from the heart, not because you have to, but because you want to, because your heart is going to explode unless you get it out. I am so grateful for you and what you've done, the prayer you've answered, how you've blessed, what I enjoy. Thank you, God. Because listen, that doesn't come natural. It doesn't come natural for a baby crying throughout the night and doing what you have to do to get them to calm down. It doesn't come natural for the baby, and it doesn't come natural for us. And no wonder Abraham Lincoln during the Civil War said, we're going to declare a national holiday and we're going to call it Thanksgiving. And we're going to pause, even in the midst of all that's going on wrong in our world and in our country, we're going to pause on this day, 1863, I believe, and we're going to pause on this day and we're going to give thanks to the Father above for all that he has blessed us with. And ever since then, it's been a national holiday where we come together and we say, on this day, we're going to be thankful. And listen, just to let you know, there real is an enemy, and we live amongst powers and principalities. The very next day is Black Friday, and now it's to get your attention off of being thankful, now back to your wants, so that you can forget Thanksgiving. You can get back to being selfish and lustful and greedy, and I want, and I want, and I want. And if you are sick of it, I guarantee you, your parents were sick of it too, as you and I did the same thing. It's the culture we live in. And so this is so counterculture. This is so counterintuitive for us in the world that we live to really live as thankful people. Not just because it's a day declared by a government, we're going to give thanks, but because it's genuine from the heart. We're overwhelmed. We're overwhelmed. I thought the last few years, and my mom might be listening to this, so this might give her an idea. So what if Mamaw were to say something like this? You know, every year I start by saying, all righty, yoo-hoo. We're going to do something different this year. This year, instead of giving thanks and you saying what you always say every year, this year, because of 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, let's go around the table and let's give thanks for what is the hardest right now to thank God for. Well, that'd be a different conversation, wouldn't it? Because according to the scriptures, we're to give thanks in everything. That means not just in joy. Pump it up. We're to give thanks in pain, in loss, in hurt, listen, in death, in everything. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 20 says that we're to give thanks in all things as well. Listen, this is not just for the Thessalonians. It's not just for the Ephesians. It's for all of us in Christ Jesus in everything. Give thanks. He's saying, man, how in the world do you give thanks? How in the world do you give thanks in hurt? How do you give thanks when your heart's broken into? How do you give thanks? I get it. We should be better at giving thanks in our plenty. How do you give thanks in our want? I get it how we should be more aware to give thanks to God in our successes. But how do you give thanks to God in our suffering? And listen, there's the key. We're never going to grow up from being babies, from being children, from having to be prodded. And hey, what do we say? Spiritually speaking, we're never going to grow out of that and become more complete until you're able to get to the point where you're able to start saying, thank you, God, for this, when everybody else will look at you and think, you're out of your mind. See, if your life was all sunshine, I mean, if all it was just sunshine, then you'd just be a desert. It takes rain. It takes the changing of seasons. It takes elements changing. Listen, sometimes against your own liking. And all of that worked together by a sovereign God who loves you, who has a plan for your life, and who is working all things out to your good and his glory because he's great and good. He has to take all of that to bring about ultimately what we pray we might become. Mature, complete, lacking in nothing. And so that's why you'll read over there in James that we are to consider it all joy. That's why you're able to read over there in Romans chapter 5 how we are able to exult and celebrate in tribulations, because not in the tribulation itself, because tribulation stinks. Tribulation hurts. Hurt hurts. But because tribulation brings about something, it brings about perseverance, and perseverance brings about hope, and that hope doesn't disappoint. And we grow to become mature. We grow to become complete. We grow to become more like Christ. And so sometimes I think, and I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about me. Sometimes I think, hey, we ought to be people that are grateful people. We ought to be more aware that what we have really does come from the Lord. And yet I think even if we graduate from that and thinking, okay, it's out of the overflow, we really do give thanks. I'm thinking, but what about in everything? What about in everything? Can we graduate from the good manner of Christianity? And can we graduate over here to the, I'm grateful regardless. I'm thankful regardless. And listen, even if you're tempted, like, okay, I do that sometime. Even if you're tempted right now to pat yourself on the back and saying, okay, I do that, and I don't know very many people who do that, so I must be very spiritual. No, you're just doing the will of God for your life in Christ Jesus. That's just what you're doing. You're doing the will of God for your life in Christ Jesus. So listen, I'm gonna close this up and wrap it up. It's gonna be shorter today. Can I just say, if we need to start off with good manners, well, let's all have a childlike reminder. So this morning, I was thirsty. I woke up, and so I took a glass and took it underneath my spigot, and I turned it on, and you know, water came out. Do you know right now on planet Earth, there are over 7 billion people? Do you know only 17% of the population on planet Earth knows what running water even looks like? Do you know how rare that is? Only 17%. 83% of the world doesn't have a clue what running water looks like. And all of us this morning got to experience it, whether through a drink or a shower, and hopefully both. Do you know out of that 17% who knows what running water is? Just a fraction, a smidgen of that percentage knows what running water that is drinkable looks like. We're so blessed. And yet I think to myself, when's the last time I thank God for running water? When's the last time I thank God for a shower that worked every morning? I remember being in Moldova one time and turning on the shower and muddy water came out. I thank God for clean water then. But it's amazing all that we have gotten used to. And we haven't been careful, and it's easy. And you might be a lot more spiritual than I am, but I'm just saying it's just easy to almost feel like entitled to it. Like, hey, that's just the way it's supposed to work. Now, some of you might have went to bed last night hungry, but I would imagine most of you didn't do it out of necessity. Maybe you're dieting, or maybe you said no to calling in Domino's like you normally do. Maybe you resisted all that. But can I tell you, two-thirds of the Earth's population, two-thirds of those 7 billion people last night went to bed hungry. And it wasn't because they were trying to lose some vanity weight. It's because they just didn't have it. They didn't have it for themselves. They didn't have it for their kids. They went to bed hungry. Your garbage disposal, my garbage disposal, is much, much better fed than two-thirds of the Earth's population. You know how you know you're rich? It's when you have leftovers. That's what rich looks like.
And for the majority of us, we got leftovers. So from food to water, just the basic necessities. His name was Michael. He lived in Lodwar, Kenya. And Michael, leaving there, I was 27 years old. And I said to Michael, I'm leaving tomorrow. He was my translator. I said, Michael, I'm leaving tomorrow. What can I pray for you about? Michael had a sick daughter, so he certainly asked me to pray for his daughter. I found out 2 months later, Michael's daughter died. Lack of the basic necessities of life. She died. I remember that in that trip, I had this Aquafina bottle. It was like one of those 33-ounce Aquafina bottles. Okay, I'm done with it. And then I have my NAVs, I got my beef jerky, I got my, you know, stuff from America that I'm snacking on during the day. And so, they just throw stuff on the ground, and we're Americans and we don't do that. And so I just couldn't do that. So I took all my trash and I stuffed it in that little Aquafina bottle, and that became my trash can. By the end of the day, because I eat a lot, by the end of the day, there's a lot of wrappers in that Aquafina bottle. And I had it up there on the dash on the car that we were driving. And Michael said, hey, what you going to do with that bottle? And I said, well, I'm just going to throw it away. There's my trash in it. He's like, hey, can I have that? I said, Michael, you want that bottle? I said, it's got all my trash. It's got all my wrappers in it. He said, yeah, my family could use that. And can I tell you, for the rest of the day, Michael with a stick, trying to get those wrappers out of there so he can have a workable bottle for his family. This is just good manner Christianity, just to give thanks, for we have it good. We have it so good. And we don't need a holiday to remind us of that. And if you're in Christ Jesus, you definitely don't need a holiday to remind you of this. Because this is just the will of God for our lives in Christ Jesus. Bow with me. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you so very much for how good we have it. Lord, I've known some rich people in my life, and not all of them are grateful hearts. But I've never met a grateful person that didn't live as though they were rich. It's really funny. I never really thought about that. A lot of rich people in this world are not grateful, but I've never met a grateful person that didn't live as though they were rich. So God, overwhelm our hearts. If that's where we're starting at, just being good mannered, Lord, thanks for being patient with us and meeting us where we are. May we graduate to be the kind of children that we learn to give thanks, not just when it's obvious and we're being good mannered children, but help us to give thanks even when it hurts, even when life doesn't turn out the way we want it to, because we believe that you are great and you are good, and seasons come to pass and you're working all things out to our good and your glory. And you are worthy of our trust. May we give thanks in all things. If you're here this morning and you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus, this must sound very foreign to you. You know, I had this thought this morning that if you're an atheist, Thanksgiving must be pretty tough on you. Those who claim that there is no God, there are moments in your life you do feel grateful. If you don't believe in a God who's worthy of thanksgiving, then who do you give your gratitude towards? Because every now and then, humanly, there are going to be those moments you're going to feel grateful. Can I tell you, even if you've been one who's not believed in the Lord, maybe you believed and you've chosen not to follow him, maybe you thought you had a better take on life and the direction you need to choose up to this point. Can I just tell you, he loves you. He has still blessed you. He has been the one who's carried you. He has been the one who sustained you. And you are here today because he wants you to have a face-to-face encounter with him. And he wants to live in your heart. And if you would open your heart to him and invite him to come to be your Lord and Savior, I promise you, he will forgive you of your sins. He will take up residence in your heart, making it his home. Heaven will be your final destination. And I'm telling you, you can walk in the grace of God beginning today. It's a new life, and the Bible calls it being born again. You can do that today. Right now, as you're praying, your heads are bowed, you just ask God right now, Jesus, I want what he just said. I want to be born again. I've turned away from you. I've stiff-armed you. I have done my own thing. I want to do it no more. I choose to believe in Christ. I believe today. I give my life to you. I give my heart to you. And I thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. For my sins. And I thank you for rising the third day. Thank you. Hey, if you meant that, welcome to the family. Welcome to a relationship with Christ. Welcome to a new beginning. Please don't leave here today without talking to somebody about that. My name is Matt. I'd like to talk to you. Jordan's up here. He'd like to talk to you. Steve, he's going to be hanging around here at the stage. He'd like to talk to you. Randy, our youth pastor over here to my right, your left, he would like to talk to you. Andrea's going to be coming up here. She could talk to you. Please come find one of us and say, hey, today I made that decision. Now for everybody, enjoy your week. Enjoy Thanksgiving. And let's be the most grateful people. Not because we have to, but because we get to. Thank you, Father, for your love. Thank you for your goodness. Thanks for this reminder. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.